This episode of the We Are Birmingham podcast is sponsored by footygreets.com.
Hi, it's Paul Devlin here.
Hiya, Jeff Horsfield here.
This is Neil Danz.
Rowan Vine here.
Birthday, wedding, anniversary, or any occasion. Personalised video messages from your favourite footballers. footygreets.com.
Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
Couple of games to look back on. What have we got the last couple of weeks? Couple of games and a transfer outgoing.
A couple of transfers.
Incoming.
A few transfer rumours or transfer rumours as well, which we can talk about. But yeah, it's been a bit of a... How long has it been? It was a couple of days before Middlesbrough, wasn't it?
So. Yeah. We had a little... Is it because of the couple of games and whatever, and then we've had the break this week, haven't we? So
it's nice not to lose this weekend, wasn't it?
Last weekend. Didn't ruin my afternoon on Saturday. Not that it has for a while, to be fair.
I was going to say, I've got past that thing of like ruining my weekend, because that's just not going to happen anymore. I get kind of used to it. But.
Do you know what, though? There are still some people whose weekends it does ruin. And we've got some 15-second opinions. Let's play them now and see if you can guess which one's from which game.
15-second opinion.
All right, lads. Great result today. Feel a bit like that was the type of performance we've been expecting from Karanka. We wasn't expecting to score loads of goals. Wasn't expecting to concede many either. But overall, very happy.
What a performance in the Blues today. Absolutely, everybody was superb. San Jose, Mr. Composed, Harley Dean, aggressive and just brilliant. Everyone was superb. Jeremy Bella from the minute go was awesome. Let's push on now. Back-to-back wins. Up the Blues. Come on!
The world just looks a little bit brighter today, isn't it? The weather was nice, it stopped pissing down with rain, and we actually got a win against Middlesbrough. And on top of that, Sam Belonga didn't score against us. Everything feels right in the world.
Great performance from all the lads today. Solid defence all throughout the game. It showed that they're capable of competing with top teams in the league. Really great performance overall. Huge change from Manchester's loss.
Karanka now has a 3.7% worse win ratio than Steve Cottrell after the same number of games. How is this progress?
All right, lads. After an average first half, we got a woeful second half. Again, reverting back to that mentality of just hitting long, aimless passes and losing the ball and repeat. I thought we needed some fresh legs in the middle, but then we bring Gardner on out wide. Which is, again, mind-boggling.
Happy with the team selection. Promising first half. Abysmal 30 minutes in the second, but a good end to the game. Hlilović looks good.
Well, all I can say is thank fuck that St Andrews is falling down and we don't have to play there again. Honestly, I'll go and help take the bricks down myself if I have to, the way this is carrying on.
So, can you work out when it...
I have a pretty good idea. Yeah.
It's quite clear, wasn't it?
Which. So it's probably worth sort of touching on the Middlesbrough game first, I guess, as that was the first one. A Craig Gardner masterclass, wasn't it? I think
back in the dugout for a late
back
game.
In the dugout,
yeah.
Even stopped Karanka from putting Clayton on towards the end of the game as well. Just holding him back. It was a well-crafted...
Clayton went for a piss and he locked him in the toilets.
That's it. It was a well-crafted goal straight out of the Craig Gardner playbook.
Do you know what, though? That for me, that goal, it was just so promising for things that could be there to come. It was, I mean, it was... pinpointed on Twitter as well about the fullbacks and the overlap and how that sort of opened them up, and he had room to run into to create something. And we'd obviously talked about that a week ago, or in the week leading up to it. But it, also the general link-up play that surrounded that goal, and then the ball squared to Hogan and Hogan being in the right place to score it. Yeah. The whole thing just looked really promising. But then
it was,
I was just going to say, but then we got into the second half and it was just like, right, just board the shop up now, just close everything. And I can understand that he needs to stop the rut, but it just to me felt a little bit too much, a bit too pressure.
I'll get into that actually. Two things, obviously, like from the beginning, someone mentioned there about the commitment of Harley Dean and like just the aggressive. He started that move with that header on the halfway line that really, if you look at sort of a clip of about 1 second before that ball had gone over into the centre of the pitch, you wouldn't have given him a chance of winning that header. He obviously, he headed it down. Was it Hogan that picked that up? Then it was out to Terrell. Back to Hogan,
you said that the Sanchez was the odd one out in that move. Now, yeah. let's give people a second to try and work out why.
Yeah, Sanchez was the odd one out.
Yeah. So it was Dean to Hogan.
To Terrell.
To Terrell.
Back to Hogan.
Yeah.
Out to Sanchez. To Colan. Into Hogan. Hogan
to score it.
Yeah. And the odd one out is Chris. Which I think we've already said it was Sanchez. But why is he the odd one out?
Because he's not part of the Brentford connection.
Exactly. And if you think about it, it almost really looked like
a
goal that Brentford would score. Now, that isn't why we've brought those players in, obviously, but it just goes to show.
Are you sure?
If you've got those types of players playing in that sort of structure, you know, and let's be fair, Sanchez would probably fit in quite nicely at Brentford anyway.
Yeah.
Because he's technically sound. Lovely goal. But you're right. It was, you know, there was only a handful of opportunities for both teams. The second half, they kind of started piling the ball into the box a little bit more. I can understand him wanting to bring Roberts on. What they're also doing, which I noticed, was they were trying to play, a few times they played the ball in between Colan and Dean a handful of times. And we would get, no, not Dean, Mikel San Jose, because it was Dean played on the left, didn't he? A few times they got caught in that little, just in between those two players, and a middlefield player broke through a couple of times. By bringing on that extra defender in that back 3/5, that actually stopped them doing that. And we looked pretty comfortable. And yeah, it can be seen as negative, but it was, we saw that game out relatively comfortably, I think, in the end.
For me, it worked out, but I would have liked to have seen us have gone a bit more positive, shall we say, and actually made them think about things rather than us go, oh, we're going to deal with what you're throwing at us. But like I say, I understand, and luckily it wasn't to his detriment, was it? We managed to hold on. So
it was a good, solid, professional Karanka performance, which is what you kind of expected to have. We expected to have probably another 10 of these throughout the season. Well, that hasn't happened.
So someone in the 15-second opinions actually said that, didn't they? That was what we expected, not to score loads of goals, but you know, to be tighter at the back.
And that was probably one of Jeremy Bella in that game worked incredibly hard, I thought. Probably it's one of his most hardest working outputs that he's given, certainly since prior to the lockdown situation. Yep. And I think George Friend possibly had an awful lot to do with that, because he's just in his ear all the time telling him what to do. And I don't think that Pedersen is that sort of player to sort of tell Bella where he needs to be, what he needs to be doing, you know. And ultimately, we saw Bella looking pretty good against Preston or midweek until George Friend got booked. And then George Friend was kind of like put off the gas and started to play a little bit more reserved as well. I'm not, whether that's connection or not, I don't know. But after that, Bella just went off a cliff.
You've linked it quite well into the Preston.
Should we move on to Preston? So I'll let you give your sort of your view on that game. I've got my own thoughts and feelings. They may be similar, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Right. This is it. Ready?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's very articulate.
I said on the Twitter in the week, after the game, I said, okay, maybe the pitch and the conditions were part of it, and I still believe that. I still believe that they probably played a part, but I think that we probably tried to approach the game the wrong way, knowing what the pitch was like and the conditions at the time. That Preston came and they very much went, right, we're going to launch long balls forward, try and beat your offside trap. Obviously saw what Blackburn did the other week, where we're going to sit high up the pitch, and that there's going to be gaps in behind. And for what, nine times out of 10, we dealt with everything well. The line was good.
Caught them offside a number of times.
I think it was six times in the first half, six or seven. So we held that line really well, but then the one time that they don't, they've got a good opportunity and we're not going to get back for it. And it worked for them. They scored from one of them. When it was it Colin that was playing them on? And he was the first one to try and get back and across. And it was just a shambles then. But that's the one they scored from. It was a nice finish. But they sort of played in the right way for the conditions as well. We were trying to work the ball and to move it. And on that pitch...
Yeah, we tried to play quite nice football inside.
And on that pitch, in that weather, it just wasn't going to work, I don't think. And it could work, but you're having to struggle to play it. And unless we're not the best team at playing the ball around anyway. So when you add the conditions, it's going to make it tougher.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, fair play to Craig Gardner for letting Karanka have a go midweek. He needs to take the reins back on at the weekend. For me, I completely agree with it. Like, Preston had obviously seen a Blackburn had did to us a couple of weeks before. I thought for like 25 minutes in the first half, we looked pretty good. We did knock the ball around nicely despite the conditions. 20 minutes in the second half, Preston had a similar sort of spell, obviously scored. Difference there, obviously they scored, we didn't. We had that sort of 10, 15 minutes spell at the back end of the game where we played pretty well. The big thing for me, and a lot of people I think disagreed with this, but when Preston scored, other weeks you would expect that maybe you've expected that game to finish 2-3 to Preston and for us just to completely capitulate. But we didn't. Okay, Preston still had another spell for about 5 minutes after they scored, but then we sort of, heads were back up, we kept on battling, kept trying to move the ball forward. There was very little quality until they brought on Halilovic, until he came on. But even then, whilst he looked very nice on the ball, there wasn't an awful lot created, but he did cause them problems, picked up fouls, you know, got us free kicks in dangerous positions. We obviously had that chance from Lico, and he sort of cut in as well, and he looked fairly dangerous. I think he's sort of thing he's got in his locker. We just lacked that quality. It wasn't for want of trying this time. I think before we've just looked like our heads have dropped, and you know we're full of mistakes, and that wasn't the case against Preston. It wasn't the case at all.
It looked like there was much more bounce back ability in the game. To use is it Ian Dowie?
Bounce back ability. So yeah, essentially, we didn't really bounce back, but we didn't let it affect us as much as it has done in previous weeks. It's disappointing because I thought for a couple of spells in that game we looked all right. It's just disappointing. There was when Hogan went off as well, and we had to play Duke up front. There was a few questionable substitutions as well. This is what I mean. This is Craig Gardner letting Karanka have a go again. He needs to stop and make the subs himself. We were all right.
The bloody subs.
He basically, he brought Duke on and wingers came off and Craig Gardner went out wide.
I remember.
Didn't really work for me, but, you know, we still looked all right.
The Hogan one was obviously enforced. I think he looked like he was injured anyway, and then...
Hamstring strain, they've said, so a few weeks out, apparently.
He looked like he was injured, and then he played on. And this is something that we've seen a few times as well, where players... was it Roberts that was hobbling on the other week and then ended up out for a few weeks? And Hogan looked like he was trying to run whatever it was off, and ultimately couldn't carry on. Just hope that
it's very hard to run a hamstring off.
So. I know, but he was playing on, and he was played on for about 5 minutes after you could originally tell that he'd had a problem. And then it looked like he was just like, no, can't, sat down. But yeah, obviously that change was enforced. But then, like you say, with the wingers and stuff, what you're just thinking at that point is to play as conventional wingers, get down to the line, cut the ball back into Duke, put a cross in for him. The type of thing that he feeds off. I mean, Karanka hasn't been there with him over the seasons that he's been scoring goals, but surely he's seen what his main strengths are. You've got to know. It's not new, is it?
It's not rocket science, is it? So we've said before, like, there's all this talk around Duke not being able to play as a one up front. Technically, I think they played Leko in there with him, didn't they? So it's almost like a two anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think it's as much about that. If you can get people to support him, as far as the pitches we've spoken about, conventional wingers, as you say, whip the balls, whip the crosses in, even if you're getting your fullbacks to whip the crosses in, that's where he's going to thrive. That's not happened in any of the games, so he's not going to be scoring very many goals. He's not going to get very many chances, and, you know, ultimately I think Duke at the moment does not look fit anyway. There's something just not right about it. Now, whether or not it's, you know, just after effects of having COVID or I don't know, but he just does not look fit at all.
Doesn't look the same as he did.
Not having a run of games obviously can contribute to that, but he's just not the same. Even in those one-on-one battles, you know, when he's like being manhandled by the opposition, he did half the time, like a lot of times he used to win those. I don't feel like he's winning as many. It's almost like he's just not as strong as he was. Maybe I'm overanalyzing that too much, but he doesn't look the same player at all.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to share it on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Let people know that you're enjoying it.
And also don't forget to rate and review us on all podcast platforms.
If they allow it.
If they allow it.
Cheers, guys.
We have a signing to talk about, Chris.
We do.
Rakeem Harper.
Rakeem.
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 No one can
say to spell his name.
Rakeem Harper, West Bromwich Albion, centre midfielder. You know, a midfielder that not that long ago, a couple of seasons back, was being chased by people like Juventus, Spurs, Liverpool, AC Milan, and one of the teams in Spain were interested in him as well. Safe to say, probably hasn't progressed as he was probably likely to, or he was expected to at that point, seeing as he's now on loan at Birmingham City. But
it's also worth remembering that the last player that was being chased by all these other clubs and Premier League clubs and whatever, I think one of them was actually Albion, was Cheick N'Dói. Remember that, the 442 magazine, when they were saying he was like the next big thing to come from France?
This fee was just the next big thing.
Big
thing. In general. I mean, Harper, from what I know, I've spoken to a couple of people that I know at West Brom, obviously technically very good footballer, a lot of energy, bit of a ball carrier, box to box. Is it question mark over his stamina when it comes to sort of the second half, sort of the last 20 minutes of the second half that also has been mentioned.
Application as well.
I've seen a few people talk about that, but I've also heard people say, like, he's a really good kid that just wants to play football. So, you know, you can only really tell when he starts playing for the club. Arguably, we've spoken about this before, about having energy in midfield, being someone that can get on the ball, put their foot on it, is able to pass the ball, can run past people, can help create, just give us another dimension of midfield, is exactly the sort of player that we need. So is it a lot to ask, bring him into a team that's struggling at the bottom of the league to try and make a difference? Is he going to be a difference maker on his own? Probably not. But can he gel with the other technical players in the team to make us a little bit more, you know, effective going forward, a little less predictable? Well, you know, I think it's a good signing in that respect.
Just on that point, Karanka sort of mentioned, I think it was after the game, wasn't it, against Preston?
Just when he's doing his two times table.
What's it? No, it was
six, ten.
Yeah. So he basically said, I've got two sixes at the moment. I want someone who's an eight. Now, current number eight in the Blues squad is Adam Clayton. So if you've got a number eight that you signed and his actual shirt number is number eight and he plays as a number eight and you're saying you haven't got a number eight, I assume that he's maybe clocked on that Clayton can't do the job that he wants him to do.
I'd call Gary Gardner. You're right. I'd call Gary Gardner an eight honesty. Yeah. But he's obviously sees him as an out and out flying winger, apparently. So
if you go by the, was it Mike Dodd's way of adding up shirt numbers to say that Jude could be a four, no, Jude could be a six, an eight, and a 10. That adds up to 22. I think Gardner's probably about 67 in shirt numbers.
Something like that.
I think it's good to see that he's gone, right, that's clearly not working. I need to bring someone in who's got the energy levels to play as well as changing up that shape. My issue at the moment, and we'll obviously come on to it in a minute, is that we've now sacked off the depth for Sonjic. So other than Sonjic, there's not really another number six to come in. So if anything happens there, we're then budging it up again. And the lad that's coming in now is a young lad who's going to have all the pressure of, you're his replacement, we expect you to do the job that Kieftenbeld had been doing.
Yeah.
And that's getting rid of him, that's a big thing to ask.
The thing about the doing the job that Kieftenbeld is doing, so the way we've kind of worked is, obviously Kieftenbeld has been more of the six, and Sonjic has tried to be that sort of box-to-box eight, hasn't he? Which hasn't really worked.
When I say doing the job that he's doing, I mean you're coming in and expected to be playing as a first-team regular, which I'm sure Baggies are wanting to do. But you've got, there's not going to be any forgiveness there, because it's like
he's just got to come straight.
You've got to come in, and that's it. It's pressure.
It is pressure. Like I said previously, it is a lot of pressure on the kids to come in, especially where we are in the league. It's not like he's going to come and slot into a fully functioning team. It's a team that's, you know, disjointed and inconsistent, or mostly consistently shit. Now, what this does do, though, is it should move Sonjic back to what should be his more favoured role in that number six, or what you obviously Karanka sees him as, you know, the natural six, and obviously has a bit more ability on the ball than Kieftenbeld, gets about the pitch, probably allows him to concentrate on his own game a little bit more. His passing has gone wayward since he first started, but maybe having someone in next to him, you know, like Rakim, who is good on the ball and can pass the ball pretty well, like when he played next to Bellingham for those few games where those two played really well, like I think the Middlesbrough game last season at home. Like those two just linked up lovely. They passed the ball around nicely. We need to see that Sonjic again. And maybe putting in someone that's got that energy and that technical capability next to him will bring the best out of him as well. Yeah. I'm kind of excited by it. It'd be nice to see if we could extend this into next season and more, maybe have him permanently, but I think he's still fairly highly rated by the Baggies. But he will bring another dimension to this team. When I say he's a kid, if you look at him, he's not built like a kid. If you look at some videos, footage of him, like, he's quite a big rangy player. It's almost like when he carries ball, he looks a little bit like Paul Pogba, maybe. You know, he's got that sort of just...
Don't add any more pressure.
Ranginess about him.
He's basically Pogba. So
yeah. He is basically Paul Pogba, yeah, with like the creative ability of both Pogba and Kevin De Bruyne put together.
But no pressure. Yeah. But no pressure.
No pressure. He's basically the fucking saviour. So deal with it, Blues fans. So. I'm really excited about seeing him play. I think he probably does get thrown straight in. He's obviously has that quite big gap between signing before we actually have a game. It's obviously Coventry, which we'll get onto a little bit later on.
It was the right time to bring someone in as well, wasn't it? And you've got that time to work with them, like the 10-day gap or whatever it was.
So. Absolutely. So I guess if we talk about players coming in, we should probably talk about players going out. We could play some sad music here, Chris, or just...
I haven't got any, mate.
Nah, never mind.
I'll play some air violin for you.
So much to the disappointment of a lot of fans, Mikael Kieftenbeld has gone to Millwall on an 18-month contract. Something I kind of expected to happen earlier, to be honest. Last minute. I'm surprised that Routt's come in for him now, but obviously
later rather than earlier?
What did I say?
You said earlier.
Oh yeah, I thought he would have come in from earlier, and this is a little bit later than expected, but obviously I think Blues have probably made him available for...
You've confused me there. Do you mean that you would have expected him to come in later or earlier?
No, I expected him to come in earlier to come and get him. Earlier, like before this season, last season. Or, okay. Yeah.
I thought you were on about in terms of when the window was and that you were expecting it last minute.
They don't do last minute Kieftenbeld deals, do they? Because he doesn't sign in the right place on the paper. So they've given him enough time to get that right this time.
But a box that says your name here.
Yeah.
It just writes your name.
Yellow highlighter on it. So look, in here. So he managed to get that right, and he's obviously left. A lot of Blues fans up in arms about it, which I can understand, because, you know, he's been a fairly integral part to the performances where we've played well this season. He played midweek against Preston. He played the game before as well. So it's not like, you know, he's been out of the team. He worked his way back in.
Yeah, like I was going to say, he had been out of the team and then came back in because, I mean, whether it's the fucking bingo balls or whatever, but Karanka maybe clutching at straws and what else can I do? But Kieftenbeld, and it coincided with us playing well.
Yeah. I mean, I, like many people, I think if people sit back and kind of chill out a little bit about it, because there is a lot of just like anger about it, is I think most people are happy for the squad to evolve and move forward. It's just the timing of this that is off, given him being in the team and performing fairly well. I'd have no problem with him going. I think to move forward, we need to sell players or move players on like Kieftenbeld. It has to happen. The timing is just a very strange circumstance. It concerns me a little bit just about finances and things. But
The timing thing for me is more about that we haven't got that depth there. Like I mentioned earlier, there's no one to come in if Sonjic is injured. You're going to have to bring in Gary Gardner. I just hope at some point, and I like Gary Gardner, but he's not the same. He hasn't got that same energy for 90 minutes that they have. Now, the thing that worries me is that at some point this season, we're going to have a suspension and an injury, and maybe even worse than Harper and Sonjic being out injured, and that we're going to be relying on Gardner and Clayton to come in, and then if there's
MSJ,
I'm putting him as a centre back at the moment, but
I think he might be moved back into midfield at some point, but we'll get into that later as well.
But there's not I hope that this doesn't come back to bite us on the arse for the sake of freeing up some wages for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
For me, I've got no issues with seeing him go, because I think we need to move on, and I've said it for a while, that we need to move on from that style of player. We need a bit more quality in there. But we haven't got the depth in that position to do it.
And let Davis go, and McEachran has been deregistered and been pretty much told he can go on a free. So there isn't anyone there. I mean, Boyd Muntz is still 2 or 3 weeks away from probably being ready for selection. So yeah, there's no energy in there if either of those two. But you know, you've basically got Gardner as backup for both of them.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
in reality, and that's it's a lot to ask.
And if you lose him, so if at some point we've got no Sonjic, no Harper, and no Gardner, which perfectly possible.
Yeah,
we're then relying on San Jose and Clayton, which we know for a fact doesn't work. And there's
the
just
world's
no
slowest midfield.
There's just zero energy. There's nothing there. So.
And I think we've talked about this before, but energy in a championship midfield is almost like a prerequisite to, you know, having a fully functional team. I think Karanka's started to realise that now with his team selection recently. It's just a shame that, you know, we've had to move Kieftenbeld on earlier than I think we probably should have for the reasons why we've spoken about. But it's done. He's gone. Rowett knows exactly what he's getting there. I think the hole has been filled by Harper. But, you know, let's just hope we get some luck with injuries and suspensions, because, you know, Sonjic just sometimes feels like a walking yellow card.
Well, it doesn't sometimes feel like it. It seems like every bloody game. Yeah.
I think he's already picked up 7 or 8 yellow cards this season already as well. So. Yeah,
at some point there's a suspension coming for him, and at some point you don't know, there's injuries around the corner.
Maybe he move Harley Dean back into midfield like he used to do when he was at Dagenham and Redbridge before he signed for Brentford. Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me, you know. Honestly, wouldn't surprise me. Is that it for Trent? Is that it for any official ins and outs?
Official. Now there's been there was talks about Duke. Murmurs on Twitter about an unnamed championship club that have placed the bid for him.
Yeah, and I think that EFL Transfer Hub, who are very 50-50, came in with Huddersfield and Middlesbrough as well, I think, potentially.
It was Forest before that were interested, wasn't it? But they're probably...
In this current climate, I'd be interested to see how much money we actually get for him, if, you know, we do end up looking to sell. Huddersfield, we know, have got money from probably from parachute payments and from selling Kylan Grant to West Brom, so they've probably got a little bit of money there. Middlesbrough, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, Duke feels like he probably would be a Warnock type player. You know, and this Duke is a warrior, and we love him. We've spoken about him numerous times. We've mentioned him on this podcast already. I will be honest and say I've got to a point now where I think he can go with my wishes. I'm sure he cares about that. because, well, as long as we bring in another forward, another two forwards, then I'm absolutely okay with letting him go. I think we've got to that point now with him where, you know, it isn't quite working, and half of it is the way we set up. He doesn't look the same player. I think it might be best for all parties if he goes, and I will miss him because he's an absolute warrior, genuinely nice guy. Just seems like a really, really good person to have in the squad. But again, going to talk about it, to evolve this squad and move forward, we probably need to start moving away from those types of players. Don't get me wrong. I don't undervalue him and I don't underappreciate him. I love the guy and what he's done. I think if we can play to his strengths, we'll do really well. But you can get the best out of him.
Well, we're definitely not playing to his strengths, though.
No,
we mentioned that earlier. If we're not going to play that way, it seems a bit pointless, doesn't it?
No. We don't know if there's any... you know, truth in those rumours. But I'm going to be honest and say, like, with the amount of money he's on and the fact that they were willing to let Kieftenbeld go, there's a few of these older players that have been in the squad a while that maybe have that almost mentality of, like, we've been down in the bottom six for, you know, X amount of seasons. It's never going to change. If they're doing this to turn around this squad into, you know, fresher, more forward-thinking, just... better, clearer mindset, then I'm okay with this sort of stuff. But you can't go and let him go right now because we've got Hogan with a hamstring issue and Jonathan Lecco, who's probably still recovering from his ACL injury. Okay, he's been playing, but he's not going to get back to properly full fitness for probably another 6 months. They need to ensure that all the stars are aligned, that we have got a striker through the door, at least one striker through the door before they allow him to go and then work on getting that second one in. I don't trust Blues to do that.
No.
But that is exactly what they need to do otherwise we'll be left up shit creek again. A bit like the Kieftenbeld situation, as you mentioned.
It wouldn't surprise me if we go into the weekend without a striker. If Hogan's not fit, no, and we end up relying on Lecco for that one, it's just the way that we work, isn't it? It's like, oh, we got a deal there, do it, yeah, gone.
I'll say this, and this is not me defending Blues transfer policy, Dong or anyone like that, but I feel like we'll bring a striker in anyway. We look to be making movements in the squad.
We had to. That's something that's been there for... I mean, even if we'd have kept... I'm saying kept like he's gone. Even if we keep Duke and we've got Hogan, we still need a striker. We need someone who fits the system because neither of them really do.
I think... we've said this before, so we won't repeat ourselves, but I think Hogan can fit the system. I think it can work.
He's not made for it, though.
We've seen it against Middlesbrough, that he was linking up play, you know, then got in the box for the cutback, you know, it was a lovely goal, and that is what we can do. You know, but he needs to have players closer to him. I think Karanka's probably realised that. And that will naturally happen as well. Mrs. Bush going back in with Harper in the team as well. We'll get more of those situations because we'll be pushing up the field a little bit more.
We will see. I like Hogan, so don't get me wrong on that point. But all that I'm saying is I think we need to bring someone in. And something that we've been missing for some time is and the name's been spoken about time and time again, that Donaldson type player.
Yeah.
Who does the high energy stuff, the dirty work, but he's also in and around the box and does both.
Definitely. And there are not many players out there like that, I don't think. But, you know, I for whatever reason, I have this, you know, unwavered confidence that we are going to bring a forward in this window.
Like I said,
I think we might see another couple of players. So
I can actually see a couple more leaving as well. You're saying about bringing players in, I can see a couple more leaving. Peds is out of the team at the moment. I could see that there's a possibility that he might be.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think it could end up being him or Seddon, unless they look at bringing another left back. But I could definitely see that. He doesn't seem flavour of the month. Obviously, the injury thing with Karanka, and, you know, just what game was that? Was it Derby?
It was half-time Derby, wasn't it? Went off.
Karanka holds that sort of thing against people. So, you know, I think there could be I think there could be potential that he could get moved on as well. I think you're absolutely right. Whether or not it's this window, I don't know, but
we've also said
is another one.
Yeah. We've also said about Duke.
Yeah.
So, is there anyone else?
I'm not going to count against. I know he's played a fair few games this season already, but I have it on pretty good authority that it's been interesting. Mark Roberts as well.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Now obviously he's played a fair bit. But I think again it's one of those we need to evolve the squad. I wouldn't surprise me. It's gonna be very hard for someone to take him permanently.
You say that, but he came in when Harley Dean and Maxim Cullen did. So he's one of the newer recruits.
Yeah, I think even they might end up counting as you keep some of them, don't you? But yeah. I think the stumbling block with Mark Roberts is he got a very meaty contract under that regime that is going to put a lot of clubs off where we'll probably have to loan him and still pay half his wages.
And hasn't really performed, has he? So it's...
No, but he's got a nice throw in. So, or not.
I will miss us having long throw attempts. And
Let's not completely write that off either. I think that's potential. And it wouldn't be surprising me if they did get rid of him, and which is what I was going to earlier on, that they bring in another centre-back. And people go, why do you want another centre-back? But I don't think MSJ is going to stay back there. The Karanka said in an interview the other day that he's had to use him there. Now...
that fills everyone with confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think they still might look for another centre-back. I think they still might do it. And we've got... Jay Clark's older, but he doesn't look fit either to me at the moment. Another problem. So it wouldn't surprise you if we did go after another ball playing centre back. You've got that sort of Harley Dean with the aggression back then. If you go look at the ball playing one to play next to him, it wouldn't surprise you if they go after someone like that. But
so you
know, I think they're rather pressing matters right
there,
now,
mate. Though by suggesting that MSJ is not going to be seen as a defender, and he's not being seen as a defender, that means that he's going to be back in midfield.
It doesn't mean he's going to be playing there all the time. It's a squad game, Chris. We know that. And we know Karanka likes to use his squad.
The only system that we've seen him work in is when we've played five at the back, three in midfield, and he's sat deeper with other people pressing. And it's not something that we've got the rest of the squad to play, I don't think.
Yeah, you are right, but I think the more players they bring in, newer players, and that you can sort of mold that squad, can't you, tell you want to fix it? I think sometimes we maybe want to play like a 4-3-3 as well, and he can play, as you say, play sort of further back and have those maybe Sunjic and Harper playing in front of him. But
potentially.
With regards to any transfer news as well, obviously Pete O'Rourke, former Sky Sports reporter, and now just
the lad
from
Warsaw, was it?
Yeah, so Zach Jewell. So talking to ball playing centre halves, he is a ball playing centre half, quite 6'3", 6'4". I don't know a lot about him, but apparently he's a left sided centre back, can also play left back. I spoke to a Warsaw fan that I know, it's one of my clients actually, and I think he actually works in hospitality there as well. He doesn't think he is ready for the championship at all at the moment.
I saw someone else say that League One could be a good move for him.
Maybe a progression or step. Yeah. Apparently he's very comfortable on the ball, can bring the ball out, can pass it around a bit. Not as physical as he should be for a 6'3", 6'4" kind of guy. Doesn't think he's ready to move into the championship yet, but... Maybe Blues, or it could just be his agent putting stuff out there to try and rouse some interest in him to move him on.
What the big tell would be to say if Blues really are interested, what's he like on Football Manager?
Can you have a look, Chris? I've not played it for a while. I don't have time with three children. Don't get a lot of time. If he's good squeeze on, this if, and it's been hard enough.
if he's good on Football Manager, Dong's after him.
He could be. Maybe that's what he's done. He's been tracking him since his like Reading days when he was in the academy there or something. I don't know. I might have just made that up. I'm pretty sure I did see that on his Wikipedia though. Yeah, there's no other news at the moment, unless we've completely missed it in terms of transfers. But I'd expect it's going to be a fairly busy week with ins and outs. I could see a fair few going and a couple more coming in, maybe three more. Who knows?
If there's one or two, one or two strikers, and I can't see it happening, but I'd like to bring in another midfielder. But I think the fact that they've cleared Keith off now means that they're not looking at anyone. And like you said, we've got Boyd Munster to come back from injury as well.
I reckon they'll bring another defender, which people will be like, what are we doing that for? They'll be the defence centre backs with the new centre midfielders. I can see that happening. But we've got a busy week coming up. What have we got? What day does the window end? Is it like 1st of Feb or something?
Yeah, I think it's the 1st of Feb at like 11 o'clock, I think. I don't think it's a midnight one. I think it's
11 p.m. Yeah. Okie dokie.
Yeah, like that.
It could be up all night. We should do a live, Chris, that night. Just sit here and see what's happening.
I don't think my missus will let me stay up late.
No. I don't think I'll allow myself to stay up late either.
Now let's have a quick look at Coventry for Saturday. It's a unchanged team. Oh no, we can't, can we?
We can't do an unchanged team because obviously Kifton Bell's gone and Hogan looks like he's out for a couple of weeks with a hamstring. According to the Mail today, Brian Dicker said he's expected to be out for a few weeks. So that might just be some form of gamesmanship. I don't know. But if not, we're obviously going to be looking at Lico up top and Harper in midfield, which actually isn't a bad thing because obviously they're quite good mates. Played together at the Baggies as well.
Yep.
So, you know, you never know. That could actually spark them both into life. One change I'd probably look at playing Alilovic in that 10 role instead of Turrell. For me, Turrell showed a couple of nice touches at Middlesbrough, but looked a little bit off the pace, and then Preston obviously was almost non-existent, I think, for me.
My thing for this, though, is that whenever Halilovic has played, he's played with Duke, and I just feel like he's struggling, like he's going to be up against it for having to a lack of movement ahead of him.
I think Lico could well start up top against Cov.
Could you really see, assuming that Hogan's injured and that Duke is still around, that Karanka's going to leave Duke on the bench again?
I think he might do.
Oh, don't know. I can't see.
I think he might do. But I think I had in my head then that Duke had already gone as well.
Yeah.
So
we've just convinced ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, though. If it is Duke, and he's not got much in front of him, has he? Let's be honest. So, you know, I think I'd like to see Lico start there personally. But we might have another forward in by then as well. Yeah, it's a long time between now and then. So there's a good chance we could have a couple new players. Whether or not they start, I don't know. I'm fully expecting Harper to start because he's had long enough to sort of bed in with his teammates.
Especially with as we said, Keith going, he's naturally got to come in as a replacement.
Yeah, they might play Gardner, but I think it'll be Harper.
Gardner's playing right wing.
Yeah, probably. I think the back four will remain the same. You'd have to make the assumption they probably will do. Friend has done all right out there. He's had a bit of time to rest now as well, so I wouldn't change that. It's unchanged apart from the stuff that we have to change, if that makes sense. So
the biggest thing for me is that we're having to play at home, and even if we were playing away, we'd have to play at home on that pitch.
Yeah, we just have to pretend. But yeah, I know we said this about Preston being sort of adapting to that pitch. Well, Coventry like to play a more passing brand of football than we do. Maybe it might suit us a little bit more this time as opposed to the other team that normally plays there. But
I mean, the team that actually plays there.
it's
the team that turns up.
the pitch is a state, isn't it? I don't think there's much to say there. I mean, they're struggling in and around the same sort of area. It's a pretty big game, I think, for both teams. We need to not lose it, really. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say we're going to win it, and we're going to win 1-0.
Nope. Going to win
3-0?
3-0.
Is it on TV, or have I just imagined that?
They're all streamed. I don't know if it's actually on Sky. Yeah, I don't know if it's
on. For some reason, I had it in my head that it was on Sky, but I'm probably.
I don't think so.
Probably wrong.
But no, I'd like to see the thing for me. I was going to say I'd like to see us kick on, but obviously we had the Preston game where we didn't kick on. I'd like to see us try and adapt ourselves for our home pitch, because the pitch is going to be bad for the rest of the season now. It's not going to improve, is it? It's not going to have a COVID break like it did last year. So it's only going to get worse. So if we're playing at home, we need to have an advantage at home, and we need to know what it's like to play on that pitch.
Yeah.
And I think if the weather's not good, I think we need to adapt and come up with a different way of playing rather than trying to force the ball forward. Just be more direct.
Oh, great. We have to adapt to it. It's just going to be one of those horrible grind out the result. Hopefully, the pitch has had a little bit of time to, they've spent a little bit of time trying to just jazz it up a bit to improve the conditions, because no one's played on it in the past week.
Sequins on it, yeah.
So,
a bit sparkly.
Sparkly.
No one's played on it, but we've had snow.
I'm hoping they would have preempted that and maybe put covers over or something, potentially. I don't know, but who knows?
We'll see, won't we?
It is a worry. I think
last season we got away with it because there was a 3-month break or something where no one was playing on it.
And prepared itself quite nicely, didn't it? Yeah.
When we came back, it was nice. And then by the end of the season,
some of it started growing in between the seats as well.
But then by the end of the season, you could see that it was wearing down again. Yeah. And then this season, it's not had that break, and it's suffering. It's struggling to hold up. Thankfully, this is it's only 2 years, wasn't it, that they were signed up for.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. You never know. We're currently paying more to play there than they are. So
to be fair, they might. But by the time that we get to go back, there might be a stadium that we can share with them somewhere.
Well, it could get to the point where we have to go and play with them anyway. Yeah. If it falls down, we might be playing in the Rico in a few months' time if we're not careful. So
who knows?
And on that note, I guess we should probably tie it up
before we do
anything else. Oh,
before we
miss something,
this is the 50th episode of the podcast.
Ooh.
And I just wanted to say thank you to you for putting up with me. Love you. And thank you to all the listeners and for everyone that gets involved every week. Thanks for joining us.
Mum, thanks Dad for listening.
You love us. You really love us.
And anyone else that listens.
Yeah. Not even listening at this point. They've probably given up, haven't they?
Yeah, I'd imagine so, yeah. For me, I do it. Thanks very much. I just want to thank my dog, my cat. No, for me, I really enjoy doing this with you. It's kind of a bit of a release that we have every week. I appreciate you had a really tough end to last year as well. So, wanting to sort of get back into swing of it again. I know it's quite difficult for you, but. Yeah, it's good fun. We've made it to 50. The majority of the time, we seem to have pretty good feedback from people. We try different things now and then. They don't seem to stick, but we probably should try and do that a little bit more often. But
sometimes they do. Just for that, do you know what I'm going to do?
You're going to send me to Cornea.
Aye, send him to Cornea.
I'm going to send us both to Cornea.
Send us both to Cornea. So we'll work on a few things. I like the fact it's just a casual chat sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
Sometimes. If you have any ideas, if you listen to podcasts or anything and you've got some ideas that we could bring into it that you think might improve it, always drop us a DM on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and just let us know. Say, oh, I've got an idea for the pod. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
But genuinely, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Enjoy the next game or the next two games. I don't know whether we'll get one.
Try and enjoy them,
yeah. And until next time, keep right on.
Keep right on.